Okay, welcome everybody. Shavuot Tov, class three in our series, One Book at a Time, How to Read the Chumash. So today, the special toldot of Sefer Bereishit. Bakasha, Rabbi.
Okay, so we spent the first 2 weeks. One first week is pretty much introduction to the methodology and a little bit about chapter one. And last week, I tried to decipher, or to the best of my ability, what the main topic of chapter one was, with showing the parallel between day one and three and 1 and 4, 2, 5, 3, 6, and the idea of Tzelem Elokim, and how that explained, what are the main message of Chumash about not how God created or why he created or that he created, but man needs to appreciate that he's made in the image of God, which is a big responsibility, and to use it to do good. Today, I'm going to talk about the transition from chapter 1 to chapter 2, and talk a little bit, if I have time, how the book works and how the opening chapters, even though they're universal, how they relate to why we're chosen and the bigger theme of Sefer Bereishit. So let's get to work. I want to share with you something which should be interesting. One second. Share my screen and here we are. Okay. Share. Okay. So what I did first is I made a copy of just from a regular Tanakh that has Parshiot. Everyone knows the Parshiot breaks. Either the pays in regular Chumash or just the space in the Koran. So chapter 2 begins. The first three lines really belongs in chapter 1 because it's the end of the creation story. That's obvious. And then what we call Perek Bet, which the chapter division starts in chapter 2, verse 4, starts the Gan Eden story with Eilu Todot Hashemayim Baaretz B'Hibaram B'Yomasot Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. Now, I made a big deal here about the Parshiyah break. If you look in regular Chumash, you'll see a Parshiyah break. Now, the big question is, this opening line of what we call chapter 2, starting in verse 4, Eilu Todot Hashemayim Va'aretz B'Baram, is that a summary of chapter 1, or is that the introduction to chapter 2? Hope the question's clear? In other words, if I only had this pasuk in Sefer Bereishit, it makes a lot of sense that this is summarizing what we just said. Because we just said Vayichlu Hashemayim Va'aretz B'Baram Kol Tzva'am, and then Kibosh Shabbat B'Kol Asher Bara Lim Lasod, and the opening line is a beautiful summary of chapter one. Eilu Todot Hashemayim Va'aretz B'Baram. On the other hand, through the rest of Bereishit, we're going to see Eilu Todot is always introducing something new, the new unit. So just to show you how confusing it is, and what kind of argument is among the commentators, I took a picture of the new GPS English translation. I have this little, you've probably seen these. All my students have them. I always yell at them for having them. It's a nice maybe reference, but you can't study with this. What this GPS does is they don't follow they mention the Parshiyah break with the pay, like I have noted here. But what they don't do, they don't follow the paragraph breaks in their translation. They make up their own paragraphs in translation. And look what they did. They took Pasuk Dalet, which is clearly part of the new Parshiyah, and they cut the verse in half in the paragraph division. Look what they did.
Oh my
God. See that in the Hebrew? Hope everyone sees that? And they say, and therefore they say, this is concluding the first chapter. Such is the story of heaven and earth as they were created. And then they start, B'yomasot Hashem Hakim Eretz V'Shamayim, starting a new paragraph where the Lord made the earth and heaven, etc. Now, JPS has a rule of thumb in their translation, is that the text needs to make sense, even though it's not written. In other words, the text, I need to make an English text, an English translation, which is readable for someone who doesn't know Hebrew. The text basically has to make sense. And if something doesn't make sense in the original Hebrew, they'll just make something to make sense. Like Vayikach Korach, they'll say what he took. They won't leave it empty. Where, if you remember the old the old English Koran, they followed a translation which was very exact. And even though the original Hebrew didn't make sense, they tried as much as possible to keep the original Hebrew and translate it. Now, there's no answer what's the proper translation. Each translation has a methodology. Now, in general, whenever there's something unclear in the text, in Art Scroll, they'll follow Rashi. So, Rabbi Jay, how does Rabbi Art Scroll translate Pasuk Dalet?
Okay, Pasuk Dalet. These are the products of the heaven and the earth when they were created. in the day that Hashem, God, made earth and heaven.
Okay. So they say products, right? Now, what's the word for products in Hebrew? Ask Rabbi Google. It won't say toledot. The word toledot comes up many times. Usually it means toledot, the source is Vlad. Vavla medal, right? Which is a child or the result of something. So the product may be the result, but usually it relates to something being born. Now, just for the fun of it, as long as you have your chumash up, I'll take a look in. You know what? Let me open up my chumash real fast. Just look at chapter.
Noah.
What do you have again? Look in chapter 10.
Well, how about I go to chapter 6? Ela told of Noah.
Okay, what's it say there?
These are the offspring of Noah.
Okay. And chapter 10.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. I know Terach, Ela told of Terach. Hold on, no, it's not in 10. Where's Ela told? Oh, the shame, right? What pasuk is that?
You want the new Koran?
Noah. These are, boy, art scroll is inconsistent. These are the descendants of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Okay. And what do they do in chapter 5, verse 1?
Okay. This is the account of the descendants of Adam on the day that God created man. Okay. He made him in the likeness of God.
It can be a lot of things and products, but it's the same word in Hebrew.
Right. Now,
if you look at the old Koran English, it's consistent. It always say generations. I think even the King James English has King James. Now, what I did on my source, let me take a look in my Chumash real fast, and the one online, the JPS online, that's the old way. I didn't share screen. Share screen.
By the way, Rabbi, while you're doing that, just for good measure, when they talk on Terach, we got another translation. These are the Chronicles of Terach. Terach
be God.
Abraham, so they're where, like, this is either. Cool. I think they're trying to use a different term every single time,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Rashi doesn't make those distinctions on each one. He makes two bigger ones. We'll see something really fun. Let's look at the old JPS.
Just to interrupt, the King James for this beginning one in chapter 2 uses the finished, which I believe is what JPS used.
They say these are the generations.
No. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
For the beginning of verse 4? Read all verse 4.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
They say these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created.
You read the line too soon.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. King James always uses generations.
Yeah.
Well, where in the Tanakh does Toldot ever mean history or tale? It doesn't. Yeah. That's a later meaning of it.
Yeah, we're going to see a great Rashbam in about 10 minutes. There's an awesome Rashbam exactly on Rabbi Feldman's question. Okay, now, just for the fun of it, let's take a look in the English on the old JPS. If we just go to chapter 5, this is the book of generations, so they're very consistent. And the end of chapter 5 would be Ela Todot Terach, would be, chapter 6 would be Ela Todot Noach, would be, they're consistent, always generations. Now, just for the fun of it, because that's going to be the big one later on, the last one in Bereshit is chapter 37. Yeah, these are the generations of Jacob. Okay, so the old JPS is consistent. Toldot is generations, which makes a lot of sense, except in chapter 2. Let me go back to my source sheet. And I quoted Magerman. That's the new Koran. One second. Zoom, share, and go back to my source sheet, which is here. Okay. So I shared with you this one. And just, I made a big deal about this because look what they did to make the text make sense. I'm just showing you how problematic the word Toldot is in the translation. Now, and OJPS, they are. These are generations of the heaven and earth when they were created. And the day, they said, on the day Lord God made heaven and earth, so Lord is going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Elohim will be God. And their OJPS will be consistent with that. Okay. In the Koran Magerman, this is the story of heavens and earth. That's the new Rabbi Sachs translation. Again, he wants to make it readable in English, but he's definitely not, but if it doesn't make sense, if the word generations, which it means every other time, doesn't make sense, he'll use it here, the word story. So he switches it now from generations to story. And in the Living Torah of Ari Kaplan, these are the chronicles. And what Ari Kaplan does in his Living Torah, he just translates Yud Kei Vav Kei or Elohim is God. So whenever you have Elohim, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem, it's always God. He doesn't translate Hashem Elohim and doesn't differentiate between God's names, which is what most of us do naturally when growing up reading Chumash, whether it says Elohim or Yud Kei Vav Kei, we just say Hashem. We don't usually just, or we just say God in English and that's it. Now, art scroll, I left it blank so someone could fill it in because I just realized I don't have an art scroll Chumash at home. I used to have one. I don't know what happened to it. Okay, now, again, if this word was only here, I could understand the translation. But what I want to point out today is that the word is used over and over again in Sefer Bereshit. And I'm going to be making a big deal about structure. We made a big deal about structure within Perek Aleph as one of the tools the Chumash uses to develop his theme. And we showed the parallels of day member, day 1 to 4, 2 to 5, and 3 to 6. So if there's structure within a Perek, I wouldn't be surprised to find structure within a book. And I want to show you the word Toledot in the book is almost a skeleton that keeps the book together and ties together its two halves. I'm going to repeat it to make sure it's clear. But I'm dedicating a whole shir to the word Toledot because the way Chumash uses the word Toledot will be helpful in developing its theme. And again, one of my key points is that format and structure is one of the many tools that Chumash uses to develop its theme, which means you have to pay attention to it to get the message. Now, you do a search in Al Torah for the word Toledot, with Ela Todot. So again, you can check that out with your English, but we had our pasuk, Ela Todot, Shemayim Ba'aretz in the beginning. Then we have Sefer Todot Adam in the beginning of chapter 5, the 10 generations from Adam to Noach. Then we have Todot Noach itself. We'll go back to this later on. Then we have Todot Bnei Noach, Shem Chamenefa, that's going to be chapter 10, the 70 nations. Then we get Todot Shem, 10 generations till Terach and Terach's three sons. Then we get Todot Terach, got that? Then we should have made that bigger. And then Todot Yishmael, Todot Yitzhak, Todot Esav, Todot Yaakov. Got that? Now, who is mysteriously missing from this list?
Abraham Avinu.
Everyone, that bothers everybody. How does Chumash make up for it? In my opinion, there's no doubt that's the tricky wording of chapter of yes. Parsha Todot. Eilu Todot Yitzhak ben Abraham, Abraham holidit Yitzhak.
Right.
That extra phrase has to relate to that. What it means, I'm not sure. I'm not suggesting any deeper meaning other than from a technical point of view, because I don't have Todot Abraham.
What about the possibility that Todot Terach includes both the Avot and the Imahot because they both are from Terach? In other words, Terach is the person who, the descendants of Terach are the Avot as well as the Imahot.
Yeah, we have more, our genetic pool is more from Terach than from Avram. Because Terach has all the Imahot also.
But what I'm saying is when they
bring in all the Imahot are from Terach. You know, I told you
that. That's the point. So Terach includes everybody.
He's the first Zionist. Remember why?
You don't know if he went for spiritual reasons, Rabbi Vitek.
No.
He made a gun for commercial reasons.
No. He planned to make Aliyah, but he stayed in Tina. But his kids made Aliyah afterwards.
Yelfie.
Okay. Now, what we're going to get to later on, but you're onto something bigger, is that within Todot Terach, we have not only Avram and Yitzhak and Imahot, we also have Haran's offspring and Nahor. We had it. We'll have it this week. We just had it this week. Parsha Vayera. We had it this week. Hinei Yoda Nahor banim la Nahor Achicha. Remember the end of Parsha Vayera. For some reason, Nahor has 8 sons from his wife and 4 children from his 4 sons from his shivcha. Total of 12. 8 from the mother, 4 from the maidservant. So Yaakov has the same thing, but doubles the wives. 2 wives, 2 maidservants, but the 8 and 4 stays the same. Esav has 12. There's something going on there with the 12 kids. Again, I'm not giving meaning. I'm saying there's some type of format there. Now,
ask a question.
Yeah, sure.
You look at all, if I look at all these toldot, they're all the same except the first one, because they're all describing generations, one after the other. The first one is dealing with Shamayim Ve'aretz. So could it be that, all the others are the same and they're talking about generations and the first one is something else?
That's what all the translations try and do. That's for sure. Yeah.
But then why use
the word toldot? That's my question. It's clear it's a different meaning here because Shamayim Ve'aretz didn't have children. Unless you repair it back carefully. Okay. What I want to claim is Shamayim Ve'aretz have a child.
That's right. Humanity is their child.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you make anything out of the fact that the first one, Toldot Shamayim Ve'aretz, is the only one that's Malay, and all of the others are either Chaser Malay Chaser, or Chaser Chaser?
I didn't pay attention, but that's a very good point. All them, the only one they have a Vav, what you're pointing out, very good, Bernie. This is Vav, this is Toldot, has two Vavs. They have a Vav here and a Vav there. And all the other ones either have the first Vav or the second one. Yeah. This one, Ace Edom, has the second one.
Or and, neither. Or neither.
Yeah. Or neither.
Ishmael has neither.
Okay, very good. Good point. I'm assuming that relates to that. I think... If I remember Ibn Ezra, he likes to claim that you can't make a big deal about Malay and Chaser because it's the way of writing.
Toldot Peretz is Malay.
Toldot Peretz?
Yep.
Oh, very good. Is that here? No, but how come we didn't pick that up? Where's Toldot Peretz are in?
Megillat Rut, chapter 4.
Oh, Megillat Rut. Okay, 18. Okay. Yeah, okay. It was not in Bereshit. Okay, I thought Ahalot Torah missed something. Already. Okay, so let's get back. What I want to get back to is... first of all, as far as the structure of the book with Toldot, but also, I want to use that to try to understand what's happening in Perek Bet and this whole theme of connection between Shamayim Ve'aretz and what's unique about men. So we're going to go back to this thing. I also want to show you first that Toldot's a key word.
Can I throw in a spanner?
Yeah, sure.
At the beginning, when at Lech Lecha, there's the word Moladetecha. It's the same root. It's the cause of, and maybe that is the clue as to why it's used here at the beginning of the second section of Bereshit, because it's causing offspring, Moladetecha, to cause like the offspring.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be, but I want to claim the second half of Bereshit starts earlier with Eilu Todot Sheng. We'll come back to that in a minute. But before I forget, I want to do the famous Rashbam. Okay? Rashbam, let's start. Remember, Rashbam is Rashi's grandson. So this is a famous Rashbam. Any religious modern commentator who wants to say something new, his anchor is this Rashbam. Okay, so we'll read it. I have the English on the side. I'll teach you Hebrew. I'll read it together. Okay. So what he says, Rashbam. This is in chapter 37 with the last Todot, Elo Todot Yaakov. Now, what is Parshat Vayeshev about? Notice, when you read Elo Todot Yaakov, it sounds like this is the story of Jacob and Jacob and sons, like the beginning of a musical. It's for sure it's about Yosef, etc. But is Elo Todot Yaakov, this is the story of what happened to Yaakov? Or, as we'll see, is this about the children of Yaakov? As Rashbam will show you. So he says as follows. Yaskilu v'yavinu o'avei sechel. Okay. His opening line, he says, Mash shlim dunu rabotenu, kem mikra yotzei midei pshuto. This is a seminal Rashbam that explains his approach. Okay. Is basically, people who love common sense follow a principle, a rabbinic principle. Okay? He's not saying, I'm not a kofer, I'm just following the rabbis, he says. Avki akirasho ikarasho Torah, bat lamdenu, lodenu, brimizot, apshat, vagadot. The main purpose of Torah study is to study it, to find references and clues to deeper themes and our connection to God, etc. Okay? And from them we learn halachot and dinim, Jewish law. Basically, we say the Torah to derive Jewish law. That's what the rabbis mostly did. And we make a big deal about arichut halashon. How come some words are longer and some are shorter? And and the 32 principles of Rabbi Lezer ben Osh, Rabbi Yosef Glili, and the 13 principles of Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, those principles means it's a book to decipher or book to study. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Lezer ben Osh, Rabbi Yosef Glili have different principles how to derive conclusions when studying the book. What principle? But and therefore most of Torah study was in search of those laws, and therefore the Rishonim, mitoch chesidutam, so the earlier generation, remember Rashbam is a Rishon, but everyone sees themselves as an Achron, and therefore the Rishonim are already going to be the Tanaim, okay? Because of their chesidut. Therefore, in the Talmud, you're going to find quoting Pesukim in the Gemara and reaching halakha conclusions, working backwards, forwards, you know, with everyone who follows Talmudic study of verses to reach halakha conclusions. And we're so busy learning all these principles and driving law, we don't pay attention to the simple meaning of the text. Okay? And the rabbis say it's not good just to follow common sense. You have to accept the Masorah, etc. He goes on and on. Okay, and then he says a person only learns Mikra, only learns Chumash. That's good and not so good. Midah v'nei midah. But if learn Talmud, if I'm learning, the best approach of learning is Talmud and not Mikra and just Mishnah, but rather Talmud when you put it all together. And therefore, people always want to go to the highest level. So he's giving an excuse why earlier generations didn't do what he's doing. And Rashbam's claim is, you know, he respects the Gemara and the Talmud and the Tanaim, etc., and all their conclusions, all their halacha conclusions. But he says when you read the text also has to make sense, which he calls Pshuto Shemikra. And Kedrim Masechet Shabbat, he says, there's a case, it brings in Masechet Tav Samach Gimel. He says, I was learning for 18 years, right, in yeshiva, and they didn't know that Chumash has to make sense. There was a guy saying, I was 18 years in yeshiva and never realized Chumash actually is a book that has to make sense. It's not just a code book. Okay. Then he talks about his grandfather. V'gam Rabbeinu Shlomo Avi Mori, Ve'er Einei Gola, with total respect to his grandfather. That's his mother's father, who was like enlightened the entire diaspora. And my grandfather also went out of his way to, not all the time, but sometimes, explain things based on Pshuto Shel Mikra. Fafani Shmuel ben Rabbi Meir Chatano. He's his grandson, but Meir is his son-in-law. I used to argue with my grandfather, he says. And my father, my grandfather, Rashi, so this is Rashbam saying that Rashi, his grandfather, told him, if he had more time, I'd write a new commentary on Chumash like my grandson, pretty much. Because I wasn't paying enough attention to Pshuto Shel Mikra quite often. Okay. And now he says as follows. Pay attention to what earlier commentator said. Elo todot Yaakov. In other words, how did most people translate Elo Todot Yaakov? This is the stories and the happenings that happened to Yaakov. You understand? He's making out that a lot of people, when they just read this pasuk Elo Todot Yaakov, and don't look at the pasuk in its wider context, think Todot means this is the story of. Very similar to how they translate Perek Bet Pasuk Dalet that we saw. This is the story of heavens and earth. This is the story. This is a chronicle, something like that. Okay, and then he says that answer he needs the hevel. He's sharp now. He goes, that's simply not pshat. That's pointless. Why? Ki ko ele toldot hamor b'torah baktuvim yeshem shfarshim b'nei adam. Either they explain the children of that person, or maybe the grandchildren. V'yeshem shfarshim b'nei banim, like ele toldot b'nei noach. Ba'ata kotev ele toldot Yaakov. What's ele toldot Yaakov mean? B'nei banav shayu. I'm sorry. Shu Shivim Beich Nodum. Elo Todot Yaakov is the beginning of the story that takes us to the end of Sefer Bereshit, which is the 70 sons going down to Egypt. Do you understand what Mashmam is saying? Elo Todot Yaakov is introducing not the story of Yaakov, he's an old man already. He's out of the picture. It's the story of Yosef and his brothers, the 12 tribes, and their children, and ends up with the 70 nations going down to Egypt. Now, I'm simply making a big deal about this Rashbam, because I'm using it to support our approach to our study of Sefer Bereshit. Remember, my title is it five books or one book, you know, with five things, etc. Listen to what he says now. And I did this simply for my own. I was always, I was deliberating. Is the topic all five books or just one book? And that was our dilemma in the beginning. Is there one theme that puts all five books together? Or does each book have its own theme and stands alone? Of course, they're all related. But this is what he says now. So he says, the purpose of the last unit of Sefer Bereshit is to get to the 70 sons of Yaakov who go down to Egypt. Yeah. And then V'Ketzad, king. Yosef ben Shvaseh Shana. How's it start? Yosef was 17, and his brothers got jealous of him. And because of that, we went down to Egypt. Got it? Okay. Because zeh hayatzarech Moshe Rabbeinu lichtov, shal zeh hochicham b'shib nefesh yodov etak mitzrayma. What's he saying? He's saying, I need this whole story in Sefer Bereshit as a background for Moshe's speech in Sefer Dvarim when he gives the Musar and prepares them and gives them a sort of a pep talk to get them ready for conquering the land of Israel. Do you understand what Rashbam is saying here? He's saying, I need all these details in Sefer Bereshit. But he's basically saying, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us Sefer Bereshit. Why does Am Yisrael need Sefer Bereshit? That was my whole point in the beginning. We received Sefer Bereshit in Matan Torah, in the desert, after we came out of Egypt. And he says, I need this story, especially for Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer Dvarim. Now, does he need it for the 40th year or for the first year? Remember when we did Sefer, Sefer Dvarim, the main speech in Dvarim is a speech that Moshe first gave at Har Sinai on the first 40 days, and he repeats it over and over again. So this relates, even if I would have needed this book, even if Dvarim was only given once, you know, for the first generation. But let's take a look at Dvarim Perek Yud. In fact, I'm just going to open it up. Let's see if we'll share. Oh, no. That's not going to work. I'm going to stop the share. I'm going to show you where it is in Sefer Dvarim, because it's part of the very important Musar Shmuz in Sefer Dvarim. Let's take a look. Open up my Chumash. A good old-fashioned JPS. And we'll go to Dvarim. It said it was chapter 10, right? Chapter 10. We'll start with verse 12. Make it a little bit smaller. Okay. Look at chapter 10, verse 12. Okay. Vata Yisrael. Listen to the Muslim Moshe's giving. What does God want from you? Very simple. To fear God. To fear Hashem, the God. To walk in his ways, remember from last week's parsha, Derech Hashem is doing tzedek and mishpat, justice and righteousness, to love God, right out of Shema, and to serve God, to be an employee, not a consumer, with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. Remember, he's building on the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, which was back in chapter 6. On top of that, to keep all God's commandments and all of his laws and all his statutes, which I'm commanding you for your own good. Now, God created, listen, okay. God created Shemayim Va'aretz. Shemayim Va'aretz. And B'chol Asher Ba. He's relating to the God of creation. Listen to Sefer. I want you to see how beautiful, to appreciate Rashbam. Look why he's quoting these psukim. Because Moshe here is referring to Sefer Bereshit, isn't he? He's saying, bottom line, if I want the cliff notes of Chumash, what does God want from you, basically? Basically everything. You know, total dedication and service. Which is, I think, is a Gan Eden theme. Lavod Hashem, to serve God. Lavdo l'shomra. See, lavod v'lishmor. That's got to be Gan Eden. That's got to be built on Gan Eden. Then God made Shemaim, Shmei Shemaim, and the Arz v'chol asher bo. That's creation. Brapa v'techa chashak Hashem lavotam. But God chose our ancestors. That's the rest of Bereshit, the second half of Bereshit. We start picking Avram Avinu, and then chooses Yitzchak, and then Yaakov, and the 12 tribes. V'yivchar b'zar machareim, b'kol mim k'yom hazeh. Okay? U'matem et orlat levavchem. Now, that's a theme from Bereshit, isn't it? It's using circumcision in a different context. It's not just circumcision, classic circumcision, but circumcision of your heart. And learn your lessons and don't be a stiff-necked people. Remember, don't be an amkshe oref. Don't stiffen your neck again. Okay? Why? Because Hashem Elokechem, who is he? He's the God of all gods. The Master of all gods. You would think there's many gods. No, there's really one God, even though there appears to be many, which is a theme of creation. That's the God who's involved in creation. You can't bribe, etc. Okay? Who does mishpat yatom v'amanah, he does justice. Okay? And therefore, that's what God does, and therefore, that's what you need to do. The way that God loves the stranger is by giving the ability to take care of the stranger. It's called Ibatato Deo. And that's why he brought us down to Egypt to take us out. Again, that's the theme of Brit Ben Aftarim. And therefore, he summarizes, okay? Hashem Elokecha, fear him, serve him. Remember again, Lavod, cling to God and swear in his name. He's your glory. Remember, that's the idea of calling out in God's name. He's your boss, okay? And that's why he did you all these miracles which you yourself saw. And now here's the conclusion. B'shivim nefesh yerdua v'techa mitzrayma. You went down to Egypt with 70 souls. And now God made you kechovei ha'shamayim l'rov. Now, where's that in Sefer Bereishit? Remember Brit Ben Aftarim?
Brit Ben Aftarim.
Now, I want you to say, I simply did this to appreciate Rashbam. If this was a class, I think Professor Lakshya would be proud of me. I'll check whether he ever notices. You see what the Rashbam is doing? In his study of Sefer Dvarim, he noticed in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Dvarim, right? He's giving a speech, but if I don't know Sefer Bereishit, I won't appreciate the Musar he's giving here in this section, which is a key section of Musar, of getting Am Yisrael ready for the job of not just conquering the land, but setting up a nation, becoming God's people forever. So if I go back now to that Rashbam, just look how beautiful that Rashbam is. That's what he says. So it's, what's Elo Todot Yaakov? This is the story of Yaakov's children, how these 70 souls were born. Kesad. Yosef was 17. The brothers were jealous. Therefore, Yehuda went, what do you call it? And then Yehuda, left his brother, etc. And the whole story basically of Yosef and his brothers. And all this, Kol Zeh HaYatzarich Moshe Rabbeinu, why did Moshe have to write the whole book of Bereishit? So that he can give them Musar Hochicham, to rebuke them or prepare them, to tell them the Shivim Nefesh Yerdua V'Techa Mitzrayma. That's not just that one little line. That's, when you read it the first time, it sounds like a little technicality. When you read the whole source in Devarim Yud Perik, all Perik Yud, from Pasuk Yud Techabet, from Yud Bet Techabet, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu's entire speech is built on the understanding that his audience knows Sefer Bereishit. So that's the first thing I want to share with you. And again, that's pointing my theme, that even though Bereishit has its own specific theme, there's a mega theme from all five books that ties everything together, and that is the purpose of our chosenness, and God wants us to be his employees, and for that reason he's giving us some land, and he's giving us laws, and he has an eternal mission or destiny for his people that we have the ability, we have the opportunity to live up to, that's up to us if we fulfill that destiny. Okay, so that's number one. I just want to share with you the Rashbam. That's just worth the share in itself. Okay, now I want to talk about the structure of Bereishit. I'm just summarizing all these toldot nice in English. So we have the first toldot was the story of Man in Gan Eden. But my point is that I'm using the Rashbam to show you Eilo Toldot is always introducing the next unit. That's number one. So Eilo Toldot Shemayim Ba'aretz, the story of Man in Gan Eden. And I want to show you how, in a certain way, the offspring are the children of Shemayim Ba'aretz. Man is a connection, is a composite of Shemayim Ba'aretz together, which will go back to our theme of Tzelem Elokim from chapter 1, which will help us put chapter 1 and chapter 2 together. Okay. Then we have Zer Sefer Toldot Adam, 10 generations to Noah. I'm going to make a big deal about this now. I'll highlight it for now. Then we have Toldot Noah, the story of the flood. Toldot Bnei Noah, the 7 nations after the flood. Then we have Eilu Todot Shem, and 9 generations we'll see, not 10, till Terach. We'll see Noach has 3 sons, Terach has 3 sons, we'll see. Followed by, just like Todot Adam ends up with Todot Noach, Todot Shem ends up with Todot Terach. I'll reformat this in a minute. Then we have Todot Ishmael, Todot Yitzchak, Todot Esav, Todot Yaakov. Because we have basically till the end of Sefer Bereishit and the story of Yosef and his children. So the main thing we see from here is that the word Toldot, Eilo Toldot, is always introducing the next section and not a summary of the previous section. That's number one. which is exactly what Rashbam is saying here making a big deal about that here in Parshat Vayeshev, chapter 37. Now, I formatted now these Toledot, and look how they turn out. We talk about the universal section and the particular section of Sefer Bereishit, right? Now, my whole point I'm trying to make over and over again is the main topic of the book is God choosing a nation, but that nation needs to know for what purpose they're chosen. And I need all the stories in the first 11 chapters to understand why God's choosing us, not only in the rest of Sefer Bereishit, also in the rest of Chumash. Now, to show the connection between God's creation of all civilization and picking a nation to have an impact on that civilization, it's not just two sections of the book and the word Toledot. The Toledot tie everything together, but there's a pattern which ties the two sections together. Because first we have Toledot Shemayim Va'aretz. We'll go back to that in a minute. Okay, but the main section of the universal section, after man's out of Gan Eden, we have Toldot of Adam to Noach, 10 generations, and then the last generation is Toldot Noach, and has 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. That leads to the story of the flood. When the flood's over, we go back to Toldot Bnei Noach, and get to the 70 nations. And then we end with the Tower of Babel, and civilization is spread out, and the focus on universal now moves to particular. And the story of Avraham Avinu doesn't begin with Toldot Terach, we'll see. It begins with Toldot Shem to Terach, based on this setup. Notice, there's Toldot Adam to Noach, Elo Toldot Noach. See that? Should highlight that there. And then Elo Toldot, we have Shem to Terach and Elo Toldot Terach, and his 3 sons. So there's only 2 times I find that list of 10 generations, followed by the last person in that list having 3 sons, and then following that to its conclusion. And again, 70 nations here. Rashbam didn't point this out, but there's 70 nations in Toldot Bnei Noach. And then 70 nations, 70 nefesh going down to Egypt. That's also part of the parallel. But you can't miss the fact from a structural point of view, the word Toledot ties the entire book together. It gives structure to the entire book, but also neatly divides into 2 sections, the universal section in particular. Now, that's, again, objective. I want to claim subjective interpretation. I need the story of God's creation of the entire universe and all civilization to appreciate why he has a particular relationship with the people. And that's the idea of making a name for God, and through a special relationship with a nation, God's hope is that nation can have an impact, assuming behavior is contagious, on the way we behave, can have an impact on how other nations will behave, which is the theme basically of Aleinu L'Shabeach, which is the introduction to Malchuyot and the theme of our Rosh Hashanah davening. Okay, that was my main point I wanted to get across. Again, it's very technical, but the theme is so important because when I study Chumash, I need to understand not only that we're chosen, but why we're chosen. And if that's a mega theme in Sefer Bereishit, then when I have to sort of prioritize what are my Jewish values and when I'm caught in a dilemma, what to prioritize, the idea of being alike to other nations, the idea of we care about what other nations think about us and we care about other nations in general, I think Bereishit is pointing in that direction. Now, it's possible to take the same analogy, analysis, and reach a different conclusion. I'm not saying my conclusion is correct. I'm just saying I think it's very logical based on this presentation, especially when Avram is chosen, we're told, "V'nivruchu v'chav kol mishpot adama," through you I'll bring blessing to all the nations. That's already pointing to the fact there's a connection between our existence and God's care of the other nations, hoping they'll have a good impact on them. Now, the Toldot of why we have Toldot Yishmael, why there's no Toldot Terach, and no Toldot Avraham, and Toldot Yitzhak, etc., we're not going to do now. Just in a nutshell, Avram, when he's born, when he's introduced, doesn't have children and can't have children until his name changes to Avraham. So it could be that's why, he has Avram. When he's Avram, he has Yishmael. When he's Avraham, he has Yitzchak. So there's something unique about Avram. It's a pasuk I think in Yishayahu, Echadai Avraham. Something unique about Avram, who's a transition. And for some reason, we don't have that pasuk by Avram Avinu That's not critical for this year, but something to pay attention to that requires some thinking. So that's our thinking. I'm just pointing out here on the source sheet.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
But when you look around for so much of our history for the past 1,000 years, and especially today, we are not looked up to by many of the nations. We are scorned by many of them.
So your question is a very good one, and Chumash talks about that. God doesn't say it will work. God says it can work. Now, your question is such a good question, it basically pretty much led to Christianity.
Even despite our best efforts.
Yeah, but our claim is, it's always our destiny. If we live up to it, it's up to us. So when it's not working, there's two things we can do. What the Nevi'im say we should do is we should ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? You know, search our souls out, study better. What can we do better to be God's people? And if we can't find anything, call Yisurim Sha'aba. That's the Rambam and Hilchot Tanit, in general. But usually we can find things. Now, that doesn't mean there's only one thing we're doing wrong and everything's on that. It could be the one thing we're doing, the main thing we're doing wrong is we don't think we're doing anything wrong. And maybe we just have to try. Maybe the way we don't get along, you know, you can argue what we're doing wrong. If you want to get an idea of what gets God really angry, just read his prophets. Right? Read Yirmiyahu, read Yishayahu, read Amos, just read them. And you'll see what are the things that makes God more angry than anything else.
No. I understand that, but I'm talking about among the goyim. I'm not talking about that we're blameless, but I'm saying be'inei ha-goyim, even if we are improving ourselves, the goyim still look down on us or hate us. The anti-Semitism rises whether we are.
So you hold anti-Semitism is spontaneous generation. The question is, when you say
everybody hates the United States too, that doesn't mean it's an unsuccessful enterprise. Yeah.
Now,
we talk about Toldot.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So okay. I'll just answer Debbie's question real fast. And a quick thing. I don't have an answer for that other than the fact that it's a requirement that we have to do tshuva. Again, what we're doing wrong, I argue, but definitely needs that. And whether anti-Semitism is built into the system that we like saying, you know, Esav, Halacha, Esav hates Yaakov.
Yishmael, right.
That's the cause of your success.
Yeah, yeah. But according to Pshat and Chumash, that's a wake-up call that something's wrong, because it should be all the prophets say other nations look up to us. Read Isaiah chapter 2. Bachrit HaYamim, Harbeit Hashem Rosh HaRim, Yisam Ikvot. All the nations will come, and that's what we daven for, that we say that every day in Aleinu. Now, how to get there is praying enough or pray to remember how we need to behave for that to happen. Again, I don't want to get into the politics behind it, but just the fact you call yourself a religious Zionist doesn't mean you're helping the thing along. Okay. But I won't say more than that. Okay. Now back to
my name.
Okay. back to this year. Here we are. Back to open the window. Okay. Now. Okay. So on our, again, just summarizing the same outline. They have universal section, creation, Gan Eden, Kain Vehevel, dispersion, power of Babel, and then the story is Avraham Avinu. Now, just on the Parshim, now we'll go back to Perek Dalet, Perek Bet, Pasek Dalet. So Rashi says, Eile Todot, Hamurim Lamala, that's a summary of above. And Shaddai says, what do you call it? Shaddai says something, I just share with you this Shaddai was great. Remember, Shmuel David Lutzato, who's fighting Bible criticism at the time. He agrees with Rashi, but he's arguing with people who say it's introducing the next story. Listen to what he says. Elo todot, elo amrim lamal, that's Rashi. Zaha amor, ad kaan hu sipur tchidat habayat hashmayim ba'aretz. That explains Rashi. Listen. Rabim min achronim, lifneim bal maaseh Hashem, I guess someone wrote it called maaseh Hashem, who claims it's introducing the next story. Omrim, ke elo todot chuzer lamata, means it's going ahead, it's going forward. It's below. He says that's a shibush, which we're going to say something similar, but he's going to claim what we're going to say is wrong. Kilamata lo diber davar l'inyan ha-shamayim ve'chemar eder tot shamayim ba'aretz. How can you say that the story of Gan Eden is about shamayim ba'aretz? It only talks about the aretz, it doesn't talk about the shamayim. So shamayim is key in chapter 1, till vaychulu, in the story of creation, but it's totally missing, shamayim is totally missing in the second story. And therefore, this can't be an introduction to the story of Gan Eden, because the story of Gan Eden is about Aretz and not about Shamayim. So we're going to argue with that, but listen to this point, okay? B'niyah pasuk hazeh kosher ha-parsha hazot im ha-kodemet. It's a transition line. V'hu edut b'ra ki mi she-ketav mikan ulamata, ketav gam ken mikan ulamala. He's saying, why do I need a transition pasuk that ties the Gan Eden story with creation story to tell you it's the same author? You see what he's worried about? Okay. V'lo ki dibe omrim ki migilot migilot hein shulakat Moshe v'itik b'sifro. Okay, so he's being nice here. He's calling Moshe Rabbeinu the redactor and not someone, you know, in Second Temple period of time. But he's saying, his claim is, even though Elo Todot you would think is introducing the next section, it's really summarizing the first, then why is it at the beginning of the next section? He notices the partial break to tell you it's the same author. Got it? Because someone might think it's a different author. So he's doing that to connect the two together. Now, I'll share with you one other thing. I want to open up all the Torah for a minute. And they have a very nice footnote in there. Let me open this up. Open up all the Torah. Here we go. We don't need this all the Torah. We need... Okay. If I go back to all the Torah on this one here. I'm sorry. Here we go. All the Torah. And here, Eilu Todot. No, that's not good. Oh, here we go. Eilu Todot. Then we have Eilu Todot. I'm sorry, the English translation. That's not good. I'm sorry. Give me a second. I want the English translation for it. Here we go. Oh, here we are. This is the account. So he translates account. Listen to the footnote in Al Torah. Got it? Okay. Eilu Todot. This formula serves the refrain throughout the book of Reshit. They were in my share. And often induces a genealogy list or kind of someone's offspring, appearing to combine the meaning of descendants and family history. Okay. Rashi emphasizes the former, suggesting the verse's conclusion of the previous chapter refers to offspring of heavens and earth, that is, those created in chapter 1. Okay. But that's Hoffman. That's Shadab, right? I was going to quote him, but he's really long, so I didn't put him in. But Hoffman, who disagrees, noting that the rest of the book, the phrase Eilu Todot, consistently opens a unit, and that here too introduces the rest of the chapter, providing an account of how the earth is developed. Okay. So, but that's Hoffman is focusing on this is going forward, right? As opposed to Rashi and Shaddai was saying it's going backward. Now, I want to use what Shaddai was saying to highlight why it's important to know it's the same author, but at the same time, it's a new story. So let me go back, stop this year, and go back to my source sheet. We're touching on a key question, which everyone who studies Bible criticism comes up with. I think... David Harbader gave a whole shiur on it, I think when he did Parshat Breshit. He wrote a book about it in English to explain, you know, Rav Breuer Shita, which he is fond of, but he tried to explain it from a more American perspective to understand what he's up to. Because Rav Breuer, when you read it in Hebrew, it's very complicated to read. But when you read the stories, they're clearly two different stories of creation. That's what, you know, it's anyone who analyzes the stories, you know, it's God's name is different. A man is made first instead of man last. You're all familiar with this. You've heard lots of shurim on this. What I want to claim today, clearly it's a different story, but they're talking to each other. I'll give a bad example from physics, maybe, if I remember magnetic fields. When I have opposite charges, they create a magnetic field, which creates force. You follow? No, but by taking opposites, I don't want to bring marriage examples, but taking opposites builds something. Can build something that by itself can't be done. There's a need of opposite charges to get creation going. The whole idea of creation being Zechar Nekeva, the whole idea of Shemayim Va'aretz, what's called dualism, which can easily lead to idol worship if it's misunderstood, that dualism. But dualism from one, the dual that creates one. That's called, I call like Vayu Levasara, like Ishvisha Vayu Levasara Achad idea, which is in Gan Eden, is that in order for something to grow, to develop, I need two different forces, two different approaches, two different perspectives. Now, I'll get a bad example that will probably get most people angry. If I have two anchor people, right, reporting the news, okay? So it's easier to read, it's easier to listen to two people talking to each other than one person giving a share. That's number one. Number two, in like in camp sometimes, what we used to do with staff in camp, in Moshava camp, is this way back, instead of one person giving the Dvar Torah is given by two people in a conversation. So there, you know, you could be the lead person, whatever it is, but if you give a Dvar Torah in a duet, it's much easier to listen to, and it develops much better. Now,
they do it now with Rav Meidan and Rav Bazak.
Yeah, Rav Bazak, that's where the idea comes from. But that's for deeper reasons. That's for, because that's even a better example, because it's two totally different approaches to how to read. They argue like crazy all the time. I know from, I eat lunch with them all the time. but they have tremendous respect for one another, and students grow by hearing totally opposite opinions. In other words, students grow beautifully when they listen to two different approaches, and then they can merge them together. Now, that's opposed to someone listening, like, I'll use an American example. You can sit and listen to Fox News all day long or listen to CNN all day long. But if you listen to both, you'll be totally confused. but again, assuming that people are honest, the better example is it's good to have in Congress a liberal and a conservative. It's good to have a hawk and a dove. Is when you're running a government, multiple opinions is healthy. It's not one opinion is one that's right. When you have to make a decision, sometimes you have to hear one voice, sometimes you hear the other voice, and the merger of the two voices is how you grow. In other words, I'll give an example. Sometimes you need Shimon and Levi, and sometimes they're a disaster. Sometimes, remember Shimon and Levi, their action? Sometimes you need vigilantes, and sometimes they can destroy things. It depends on the situation you're in. Sometimes you need a Pinchas, but sometimes Pinchas' vigilance can be great. But he needs to breach shalom to balance it out, if you remember what's happening in Chumash. What I'm getting at is that to build something, having opposite stories, again, Rav Soloveitchik takes this beautifully into Adam 1 and Adam 2, which I'm sure you're familiar with in The Only Man of Faith. I'm trying to explain that it's not apologetics. It's a powerful tool that Chumash uses to develop a complex thing. What I want to show you now, we'll start this week, I'll develop next week. I want to prove to you, or support at least, that the chapters are talking to each other. And you can't understand one without the other. In other words, of course, each one presents things differently, but neither makes sense if you don't have the other. For example, I'll give the best example. Why is Adam named Adam? In chapter 2, he's Afar Min Adama. I'll give you, but man's name Adama in chapter 2 is key. In chapter 1, his name is Adam, right? For no rhyme, no reason. But why is God making Adam, right? And no other creation gets I think, an official name, does it? I mean, God gives names to Shemayim Ba'aretz and day and night, etc. But he doesn't name any creatures. He just says, in fact, man's going to name the different species. Only Adam, again, Adam in creation is the name of the species of man. But man is made Zechar Nekevah B'Tzad Elokim. Now, in Gan Eden,
it's Ha-Adam.
Or Ha-Adam.
It's not the same. Yeah.
But sometimes Ha-Adam, and sometimes Adam.
Yeah, by Ra'al him at Ha-Adam B'Tzalmol, B'Tzalam Elohim, Bara'otah, Zachar Nekevah, Bara'otah.
That's the species,
clearly
for sure.
Means, that's not a name. That's a species. That's a generic. That's a Zan.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just, in chapter 4 begins, V'Adam Yada Et Chava Ishto. V'Adam Yada Et Chava Ishto, right?
It doesn't change, I think, till set tells.
It's complicated.
Yes, Sefer Toldot Adam. In other words, they're used to some extent interchangeably until chapter
5. Yeah, for
five.
Sure. It's fun. If you follow the translations, it gets really tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, though, using the name Adam, now, when is man, listen carefully, when is man able, in the Gan Eden story, when is he able to differentiate between Tov and Ra, between good and bad? Only after he eats from the fruit, correct? And the Nachash testimony, because what's Elohim know? That when you eat from the thing, you'll be like Elohim, your dad Tov v'ra. Now remember
I said like Tzelem
Elohim last week? When we did Tzelem Elohim last week, remember? What was Elohim doing every day? We made a big deal about par. I'll go back to my source sheet in a minute. But God had the ability to be creative and also to do what? To reflect and know what's good. Vayelim ki tov, or even tovot, if God knows what's good, he also knows what's bad. So if man is made b'tzelem elokim, then part of man, of Perek Aleph, is the ability, not just to be creative, but to be able to know, v'is like elokim, yodea tov v'ra. Now, that only happens at the end of the Gan Eden story. Man being male and female is only at the end of the Gan Eden story. So in many ways, and Prusha Chazal look at it that way, then Chazal tell you, when did Gan Eden happen? Ben HaShemosh was on the sixth day, right? But what Chazal do, they claim that, like historically or technically speaking, the story of Gan Eden happened in day six. Because it says
but
on day
six, God made man to be good and evil. It could mean Tovara could simply mean in the story of Gan Eden, it probably means sexual intercourse, and elsewhere it simply
I'm saying,
means. Wait,
I'm not saying what the words mean. I'm saying the words are there.
Right. So what did they know after they ate that they didn't know before?
You're asking me. Let me make. I'm going back to my source sheet for a minute. I want to make a point clear, and then we'll have to stop here, and then we'll pick this up next week.
Okay. Good.
Okay. What I want to get at in the connection between Perek Aleph and Bet. Okay. Man's name is Adam, and he's male and female. Okay. Man in Perek Aleph can only man eats from the fruit of the tree. That gets him into big trouble in Perek Bet, doesn't it? The fact that man's diet is uniquely fruit and not animals in Perek Aleph. And that fruit that eats is special in Perek Bet. Okay? And again, Elohim, okay, is able in creation, is known for seeing things are good. Okay. And the Nachash is the one who tells him, you know, the second you eat from that tree, the Eitz Hadat Tovara is going to help make man B'tzelem Elokim. So when Gan Eden is over, man is the man that God made in Perek Aleph. So now, let me go to my key point, and then we did all this part. I just reviewed the parallels. Go back to that later on. What was my point? We'll get this in a minute. Was it the end? I have it. Where did I have it? My point I was making. I'm not there. Oh, here, up here. Where's my point? Here we go. It's a good point. When I'm reading the stories, the second you get out of your head the question, what happened, as opposed to what's written, what actually happened is not the topic of Chumash. And it makes much more sense to me. Again, it could be it happened. You know, there's no way to put the two stories together and read an ongoing chronicle narrative, what happened, okay? But the two stories are written, again, like an etiology, to explain what's the meaning of life and the meaning of man and the meaning of creation. And what actually happened is irrelevant. Because we know the bottom line is we're human beings. We have a relationship with God. We can yodei tovara.
I'm so reading you're story. Assuming wait, that second. Elohim at the beginning
one second.
Means
let me finish you for a minute.
Suppose it means
let's
the God.
Finish. I'll take questions in a minute, okay? My main point is, what actually happened is not important. We always want to know what happened and trying to resolve the problem. Chumash is purposely giving different perspectives and not telling you what happened. Different ways of viewing human existence, a human's relationship with God, which is good old Adam 1 and Adam 2. I'm saying it's not two different stories of creation that are totally in contradiction and then you have to go and conflate them together. There's no point in trying to make figure out what actually happened. Rather, I read each story not to know how God created man or what actually happened. I read the stories to understand what's the nature of man's relationship with God. And what actually happened, we have no idea. It's irrelevant what actually happened in reality. It's what's written. I study what's written, not to figure out what happened. So all the questions, what did man know? Could man have children before? You know, I need all those stories to appreciate man as he is today. What was man like in Gan Eden? If it's just a story to explain the meaning of man today, then what actually happened is irrelevant. And how God did it, that's God could do it any way he wanted to. I only read the story not to find out what happened, but to appreciate what's the meaning of life as we have it in front of us today. That's a key point I wanted to make. We'll continue it next week, but I also want to show you is that on day, this idea of man being creative, but reflecting, which is so critical, and the idea of Tzelem Elokim in Perek Aleph, that goes together with the Nachash. Now, the idea of Adam, I want to point out one thing in chapter 2. This phrase, I made a big deal last week about in creation, the only time that God says to do something and something else does it was on 3b. Remember? everything God says, you know, it should be done, and then like God says, let there be morot, and God makes the morot. God says there to be living creatures, and God makes the creatures, even though He tells the land to do it and the sea to do it. But on day three, when God says Totzi Arz Deshe Samasri Azera, it's the only time when the arts does it itself. And that's what Chazal called the sin of the land, because it makes man think that the Mother Nature has power. If you look in Perek Bet, Perek Bet goes out of its way to show you that God's doing everything. Okay? But you know, this Torah Shlom B'Tzvam, Hashem Elokim makes Eretz Shamayim. Listen. For some reason, the word Sadeh is over and over again in Perek Bet. We don't have it in Perek Aleph. Okay? Let's go see after them. And nothing's growing. There's nothing's growing here in the meantime. Why? Two things are missing. There's no matar, and there's no adam. Now, matar and adam go hand in hand. Why? Because matar is heaven to earth in the physical world, and man is earth to heaven in the spiritual world. In other words, the two things that connect Shemayim va'aretz, it's Toldot Shemayim va'aretz, is directly related. That's why I disagree with what Shaddai was saying, is that Shemayim va'aretz, Kilom Tir Hashem ala aretz, that's from matar, always come from the Shemayim. Matar is anything precipitating from heaven to earth is always called matar. So the two things missing is matar from heaven to earth, and adam, which will start from earth and work its way back up to heaven. Now, it's not pshuto shemikra, but I call pshuto shel Torah, as we'll see as we go. Now, the word aid, this mist going up, okay, is unique here. There's one time I think in Eov somewhere, a similar word. But eight is unique to this story. Chumash only here. And notice eight is the first two letters of Adam. And Adama for sure relates to Adam. Ve'ed yalem min ha'aretz, and it moistens the land. This pnei Adama, min Adama. I'm paying attention. Look at the word Adama all through the story. But you know, in Perek Bet, Perek Aleph has Adama just once, when man's in charge of, on day six, there's the animals of Asherets Badama. But usually the word is always Aretz. When on day three, God makes Aretz, Yavashan calls it Aretz. He doesn't call it Adama. Adama is central in the Gan Eden story because Adam is from the Adama. It's like a mega theme throughout Perek Bet, which I have to point out more next week. Man's made a farming Adama. But he by Pach Papav Nishmat Chaim. But we have to talk about next week. The word Neshama, if I'm not mistaken, I checked it out over Shabbat in the Concordancia. Almost every single time, neshama relates to only to humans and not to animals. Maybe by the flood, but I can solve that pasuk as well. Nefesh is all living things. Neshama is unique to man. And also, neshama is used to describe God as well. Nishmat Hashem sometimes you have. And then you have Vayatzmach Hashem. Got that? Min Adama. Vayikah Hashem. All the actions from the ground, in Perek Aleph, the ground was doing, now God's doing all of them. And so I think that's important in the parallel between the two prakim. And then, of course,
it's Shabbat we say Nishmat Kol Chai.
Yeah.
Nishmat Kol Chai comes right after Kohan or Shemot to HaHaleliyah. Yeah, it clearly means all creatures, and it does not mean just humans.
Yeah, but that's okay? Not a pasuk.
I mean, I have no ands, ifs, or buts about it.
That's not a pasuk, Nishmat Kol Chai. That's a prayer.
Kohan or Shemot to HaHaleliyah is.
Ketuvim doesn't count.
Nishmat Kol Chai is just interpreting Kohan or Shemot to HaHaleliyah.
No. Neshama there means every breath.
Everything that breathes.
It could be.
It doesn't mean every breath.
It's the only time the word is used in Tanakh. Also, I'm saying the word neshama. The word nefesh. The word nefesh is used all the time for living things. Neshama is unique here to man.
Disagree. Now,
and the praise of God is definitely for man there. Now let's go back to So anyway, we'll go back to this next week. But I also want to point out now is that everything coming from the ground. It's done by God. It's everything coming from the ground. Min adama. Min adama by tzmach, by yitzer, by yita. Everything growing from the ground is being emphasized. God's doing everything from the ground. As opposed to Perek Aleph, the only thing that's doing thing on their own is the adama. But let's see, Aris, or the land. Anyway, we'll deal with that next week. But again, just to summarize, all I want to show you today is number one, the word toldot gives structure to the book. That goes to the mega theme of why God's choosing a nation. And when you deal with the two different stories of creation, I'm not trying to solve the problem. I'm trying to understand why Chumash does it. Chumash is doing it intentionally. And my claim is it's for sure two different stories of creation, but two stories that are talking to each other, almost different perspectives, with no intention of being able to make them fit together. I'm saying there's stories to study, and you study the story to understand what's the meaning of life and what's the meaning of your connection to God, and what's the this dialectic of a human existence, and later what's the purpose of God picking a people. And when I'm studying the story, there's no point in trying to figure out what happened, and you know, trying to figure out what was there. Well, there's no point in that. You study what's written to appreciate our life today. That's all. Now again, how Rav Soloveitchik reached his conclusion and Rav Broyer their conclusions. If I have time a little bit tomorrow, that's not. I want to skirt the whole problem of what actually happened by just appreciating two stories that are talking to each other, but from totally different perspective. Okay, let me stop here. I have to go in a minute, but I'll take the chat now.
Menachem, you want to hear something cute?
Yeah.
The Kol Siach Chasadeh Terem Yitzchak.
Let me just check the chat real fast, and then I'll take verbal questions. Let me check the chat. Oh, there's not too many in the chat. Oh, it's just the sources. Okay, that's good. Okay. Oh, here. To me, all the total phrases seem superfluous. Okay. Okay, so Marty's asking, they seem superfluous, but they are superfluous in that sense, because I couldn't figure it without them, but they give structure to the book. Remember, there's lots of words in the book which I can... Chumash isn't a telegram where every word is, like, needed. And when you write a telegram, you don't want to waste a word when you use that paper letter in the old days. But when you're writing a book, sometimes I'm wordy on purpose. Chumash doesn't waste words, but boy, it's wordy. So I don't need to know every korban of the Nesim. Just say Ka'ele on 7 days. But there's a value in repeating them every single time. So Chumash is wordy all the time. But its wordiness builds structure and builds units. And those units help develop its theme.
Rabbi, may I have two points?
Go ahead.
One, do you have any idea, suggestion, why the Rashbam waited until Perek Lamed Zayin to say that Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto?
Remember that Marty Lakshya has a whole thing on this, but there's only one Ktav Yad of Rashbam that they found hundreds of years later that luckily someone found. Now, was that because people burned his books? Or was it because he wasn't studied? Like Rashi, there's like tons of Ketuvei Yad. But Rashbam was very few Ketuvei Yad of it. And there's lots of Rashbams that are missing. And the Rashbam of creation is missing. And if you look on Allah Torah, they'll have someone try to reconstruct the Rashbam based on other Rashbams or other people quoting Rashbam. We don't have Rashbam in the beginning of Bereshit. It could be said that, but he said that because it was his. I, in my opinion, he brings it there because of the pasuk in Devarim. If you follow what we did in Devarim, the main purpose right. here was to show you how awesome Rashbam is in tying Devarim to Bereshit, because that's the theme of my thing of how even though Bereshit has its own theme, I need all five books to build the whole picture. But the way the Rashbam beautifully notices. That Moshe Rabbeinu's, that's key in Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, isn't it? Mashem Elokecha, what does God want from you? And we go through the story of Bereshit, Kochvei HaShamayim, from Brit Bein HaBkarim, Lavod Et Hashem, that's the Babdu Vinu Otam in there as well, Lavod V'lishmor Mitzvot Hashem, that's the Gan Eden theme, and being chosen, and choosing our ancestors, even though God has everything, and there's a purpose in our chosenness, and loving the stranger. Putting that all together, remember Hagar, the stranger, Giger Yezaracha, and then Vaftim et Hager is critical in that story. You can't miss what Rashbam is saying, basically, that if you really want to appreciate Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer Devarim, especially that key part of the speech, you need to know Sefer Bereshit. That's the key point of the share. If that's all you got out of the share.
And the other thing, just a point,
worth wasting an hour.
Just a point, because it was mentioned at the end, I heard years ago from Rabbi Eitan Feiner that the reason why you have Kol HaNeshamot Hallelujah is before that you have all the different instruments, and each instrument represents a different emotion of a person. And you need all of those emotions in order to be able to praise Hashem for everything. So he said, for example, the emotion of fear. Nobody wants to be afraid. Yet, how often do we go to a terrible horror movie where half the movie you're covering your eyes and you come out of the movie and you say it was great? Because you have the emotion of fear.
Because it's fiction, hopefully.
Or riding a roller coaster.
Yeah. Listen, the word is, I'm pretty sure, neshama is only mentioned once in Tehillim, only there. That's it. Mm-hmm. The last line of Tehillim, you finally have the word neshama.
Boy, we have neshmat Hashem, yarat Hashem, and neshmat ruach kamal. You have to be very careful about assuming, you got to analyze it thoroughly. My opinion is that there's only one place in the whole Tanakh where the word neshama clearly means human, and that's near Hashem, neshmat Adam. The rest of them can be interpreted to mean breath, just in a general sense, and not specifically for humans. But that's not my main point. My main point is what you said about Toldot chosen. Let's subdivide that and let's see what's going on in Sefer Bereishit. You're starting with Eilat Toldot Hashemayim. You're ending up with Eilat Toldot Yaakov. Well, it's clearly an attempt to narrow the, so to speak, chosen group down from the very beginning of creation all the way down to Yaakov Avinu, and later on when that phrase is introduced, like Eilat Toldot Aharon Moshe, Eilat Toldot Peres, that's narrowing within the Jewish people. That's why it's not included in the Sefer Bereishit. Sefer Bereishit just wants to get to the point that Yaakov Avinu's group is the chosen people. Later on in the Tanakh, we're going to start subdividing between people who have a little more, but they're still part of us. The Melucha's part of us. The Kahuna's part of us. But they're a bit above the rest of us, so they get an Eilat Toldot too. But that's really what this whole Eilat Toldot sequence is about. Start from Shemayim Ve'eretz and end with Eilat Toldot Yaakov. And that's why I think Rashbam Dafka writes about Eilat Toldot Yaakov, because he wants to extend this and push it into Sefer Devarim, where we talk about the chosen people.
Okay, so I'll use my methodology simply not to answer your question, but to frame it. Okay?
Well, it was a statement, not a question.
Okay, so listen. My whole point, and what I'm trying to show you, there's objective analysis, subjective interpretation. Okay? You agree with me on the objective analysis, that the word toldot is key to the book, correct? Now, you took that, and you notice in subjective interpretation that you're always narrowing down, and the goal of the toldot is to show you how important the Jewish people are and act with everybody, and that's the main focus of Chumash. It could be. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying it's a legitimate interpretation of the Chumash use of the word based on the use of the word toldot. Now, I hear that side. I'm presenting a different approach, also doing based on objective analysis, making a big deal about the 10 generation, about the universal section and particular section and how they're talking to each other. And it could be, again, I'm not saying my mind's right. I'm saying I'm just presenting mine and I'm going to support it later in Nevi'im and Ketuvim, etc. That the way a lot of Pesukim and Tehillim, that there's a connection between God choosing a nation and his care for all humankind. And we're not chosen. God only cares about us. We're chosen because God cares about all humankind. But that's a different approach, which is for sure based on my hashkafa. But there's no way for me to prove that my interpretation is correct over yours or vice versa. I'm saying they're all legitimate and God wants us to argue. But the way we argue is by, bringing support from other sources, from other places, from Nevi'im, from that Gatra the Pesukim, in what do you call it, in Devarim, are all about, if you look at the beginning of Devarim, the idea of Goy Gadol, and other nations to say, Racham Chacham Adon Goy Gadol, was our nation is in order for other nations to look up to us. That's the theme in Devarim, which you have to tie together with the speech in Devarim. But again, that's already a whole long share. Asher, you had something, Asher?
I have dozens of things. However, okay. Yeah. I wanted to ask, so your bottom line is that Toledot is a headline projecting forward?
Yeah, for sure. It's a presumed thing. But it's projecting forward because, I have Shemayim V'Aretz come from nothing, bara. I didn't talk about the Bihi Baram, but the verb bara is unique to Perek Aleph. But God made Shemayim V'Aretz. Shemayim V'Aretz have a child, which is Adam. Adam is connection. The whole idea that I have to build on next week, the idea that man is connecting heaven and earth, right? And basically the spiritual nature of man, and man being different than everything else created. That's what I'm trying to point out. That's what I build up next week, is that one of the key points of both creation stories is that man, even though he's like animals, he's fundamentally different than an animal, even though he's part of the animal kingdom. There's something godly about him. That's the Tzelem Elokim. And that's how he builds his Olam Haba. That's how he builds his Ruchaniyut. I'll end up, I think, pretty much where the Rambam is about with his understanding of Olam Haba. But man, the ability of man to develop his connection to God through mitzvot, through Torah, through his behavior. And the idea is that it's not just through intellectual growth, but also through social growth and what he does, how he treats his fellow man. The idea that Olam Hazeh is about building a connection to God, not just God working for you, but you working for God, but there's something eternal about man and something that remains forever that builds his Olam Haba based on what happens in Olam Hazeh, that there's something going on there where God wants to connect man, that Shemayim V'Aretz are connected. And man connects that Shemayim V'Aretz. A man has the ability to go from Aretz to Shemayim.
Also,
which you see later in which Koela talks about a little bit.
The fact that your idea that the two creation stories are from different perspectives is, I think, very relevant. The first creation story is from the perspective, from God's perspective, as it were. But there's something very important about that. The fact that they're two different perspectives means that the language in one and the language in the other are not necessarily the same. The word tov vara in the second story, etada tov vara, I think that there is basically no connection between tov as opposed, there tov vara, they're in apposition to one another. The Rambam has a whole perek about it, and I don't understand it. If anybody here does understand it and can explain it properly, gesundheit. But I think it's the second perek in the second section in the first book. But in the creation story, the word ra, of course, doesn't appear. The word is tov. It appears exactly seven times. Seven is a key number. Therefore, tov is a key word. Therefore, tov in the first creation story has a unique meaning. And it's not tov in apposition to ra.
It could be. It depends on Avnei Berkot Tuvia Panecha. No, but in Shmot, that's interesting.
What are you going to say about loto?
Yeah.
That's in the second story.
All right, just ask.
Rabbi Sachs has several essays that Zecher Tzadik Livracha has several essays about that, the idea of the word tov in the first creation story, what it is indicating. And it's not, I don't think, I think it's
obvious. Yeah, it means
not an apposition to Ra.
I'm not saying it's the same concept. I'm just saying they got to be related. They're related because they have the same gematria. Okay, we'll stop here.
All right, yes. Okay, 25 minutes, and Dr. Benny Gesundte will be giving a shiur to Lynn Bivrit.
You can ask Benny about how he understands the Shema.
He's probably getting to it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. 2 weeks? Next week, I think. We're going to be there in either next week or the week after.
It's the end of Tillim, yes. And tomorrow, besides our regular class with Mark Shapiro, Yosef Lindell is beginning his four-part series on the history of the Siddur. From tomorrow, it's from Tanakh to the Mishnah, I believe. That's at 1 p.m. tomorrow, four-part series. And then Mark Shapiro, of course, at night, and Robert Shulman, et cetera, all our classes during the week. Okay, everybody, be well. Shavua Tov. Everybody should be well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.